Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Ches. The sugya that we will be dealing with is featured on the side of our Gemara, where we note a nosei, a topic heading, and mivneh, a structural note. Here we've combined them. And you can see a house shape, and we've written shnei deos, abaye v'rava. We'll see 2 opinions, and we've highlighted their names with this marking. Be'inyan zorak kaveris l'rishus harabim. Regarding one who throws a kaveris. Now, a kaveris is sometimes translated as a beehive, but in effect it's a vessel in which the bees accumulate or congregate and produce their honey. And he throws this kaveris into a public thoroughfare. Now, a word or two concerning the kaveris before we learn the Gemara is important. First of all, the issue is the individual throwing a vessel? And if he's throwing a vessel into the Rishus HaRabim from a private domain, so he is obviously guilty of transferring a vessel from one place to another. If, however, the entity has large enough dimensions, it's no longer considered a vessel. It's considered a domain unto itself. And if that would be the case, so then he is not guilty because the domain retains its own identity, and it's not as if you threw something, an item, into the Rishus HaRabim. You're simply tossing around a Rishus HaYochid. And that's not what the Torah prohibits on Shabbos. How does something become a domain as opposed to a vessel? Well, it depends on its dimensions. So that if you're dealing with a vessel, and we have to deal with something three-dimensional, that has a height of 10 tefachim, and has a length and width of 4 tefachim, that would be considered a rishus hayochid. The kaveris itself is cylindrical in shape. So we will deal with a kaveris in our Gemara that has a height of 10 tefachim, and since it's cylindrical, that means it has a round shape to it in addition to its height. So being that it's a circle, we have to come up with a circle in which you could inscribe a square measuring 4 by 4 tefachim. What would the necessary diameter of such a circle be? So the diameter of such a circle would be 6 tefachim. Because if you have a circle that's 6 tefachim in diameter, you can inscribe a square whose sides are 4 by 4 and would be contained entirely in this circle. In other words, the diagonal of the square would be the diameter of the circle. We have a little illustration on the side that attempts to demonstrate this, where we have a circle with a diagonal and a square inscribed, and you can see there is an indication that diagonal is 6, and that 6 is 6 tefachim. And we also indicate that the sides of the square are 4, so that if you now notice, we also have a little diagram of a kaveris that measures 10 tfochim in height, and 6 tfochim, the circle is 6 tfochim in diameter. That would be a rishus hayochid. There is much more to the sukkah than that, but by way of introduction, that is necessary to know. The Gemara. Omar Abaye. We have a Roman numeral number 1 here, and a few lines later, a Roman numeral number 2, which will give a different case, an additional case of the tossing of a kaveris. So, Omar Abaye, Zorak kaveris l'shus rabim. A person standing in a private area throws a kaveris into the Rishus HaRabim, into a public thoroughfare, Kavoa Sora, the Eino Rechova Vov. If it has a height of 10 tfachim, but it does not have a diameter, literally a width of 6 tfachim, Chayav, he will be guilty of throwing a vessel from a Rishus HaYochin, from a private domain, into the public thoroughfare. However, Rechova Vov, if the Kaveris has a width of 6 tvachim, Potter, then he will be exempt, because what he has done, he has thrown a domain and not thrown a vessel. Rava Omar, Afilu Eino Rechova Vov, Potter. Even if the Kaveris is not 6 tvachim wide, he will nevertheless be exempt. My taimo. Why? E efsher lekroimios shokana shlo yalu lemalo me'asora. We noted that the kaveris has a height of 10. The kaveris is made of, we'll assume it's made of a woven reed network. The reeds along around the perimeter of the upper edge of this kaveris tend to protrude above the rim level. In other words, there are some reeds that protrude higher than the basic height of the vessel. And as a result of that, when you throw the kaveris and it lands in the Rishus HaRabim, with its opening facing up and in its height, so that it's positioned standing in the Rishus HaRabim now, what happens is that some of those reeds are protruding beyond a height of 10 tfachim. They're higher than 10 tfachim. That means that the kaveris, even if it happens to lack the width of 6 tfachim, and it would appear to be a vessel as opposed to a domain, nevertheless, some of that vessel is not in the Rishus HaRabim, because Rishus HaRabim goes up to a height of 10 tfachim. So what has happened is that the kaveris entity has been thrown into Rishus HaRabim, but it hasn't landed completely in the Rishus HaRabim, because some of the reeds that form the kaveris are jutting above the 10 tfachim mark. Now we have another scenario involving the tossing of a kaveris. Kofa al piha. It's noteworthy that we're dealing with a kaveris that is less than 6 tfachim in width. He's flipped it over so that the mouth, the open part, is facing downwards. Shiva umashu chayov. If the kaveris has a height of 7 tfachim plus a mashu, notice here we're not dealing with a ten tefach high kaveris, but rather 7 and a negligible additional amount, then he is chayov. Now, the significance of Shiva Umashu is that 3 tfachim minus Amashu added to this number of 7 and Amashu would give you 10 tfachim. as the kaveris is descending with its mouth facing downwards, we say that when it reaches a height of just below three tefachim of the ground, it's considered as if it has landed on the ground. That's considered its landing. Once again, the point that it comes to within three tefachim of the ground, that's its landing, even though physically it hasn't reached the ground yet, but it becomes, in halachic terms, it becomes attached. The term is lavud. Lavud means attached. It becomes attached to the ground. The shi'ur, the dimension of lavud, is three tefachim minus a mashu, minus a negligible amount. So it's 2.999 tefachim. So that if your kaveris measures 7 and a mashehu, when it comes within 2-3 minus a mashehu tefachim of the ground, it's completely in the Rishus Harabim. And therefore, chayav. However, shiva u'mechtza potter. Now, we've noted there a number 1 over this, because on this point of shiva u'mechtza, there's going to be another opinion. But at the first opinion says that if the kaveris measures a height of 7.5 tefachim, as soon as it gets to 3 tefachim minus a mashehu, what would you say? Well, we said it's considered attached to the Rishus HaRabim at that point. But at that point, there's still some kaveris above the 10 tefachim mark. Therefore, the point at which it becomes attached to the Rishus HaRabim, this kaveris is not completely in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, he is exempt. Rav Ashi Omar, afilu shivu mechtzo chayov. He says, even if it's 7.5 tefachim of height, he will be guilty. My taima. Why is that? In view of the fact that we were saying that there is a lovud concept, so why does that not apply over here? The Gemara answers, Mechitzos l'soichon asuyos. The walls of this kaveres are made to contain their contents, and they do not, in your mind's eye, continue downwards as other walls would in this halachic realm. In order to appreciate this a bit more, we look at the Rashi, a few lines under the Gemara, three lines under the Gemara, Kof al pia, v'zorka, a'eno ruchova vov koi. We're talking about a kaveris that is less than 6 tefachim wide. Zainu mashu chayav, im gavoa, zainu mashu, if the height of the kaveris is 7.5, adayin chayav, he will be guilty. Because she came pusa mikain, elo afilu gavoa zainu mashu, even if it measures 7.5, the ika lemeimar, you might have thought to say hoyu umichisusel lamato, since it's inverted so that the walls of the kaveris are facing downwards. Fukaimalon halochu Moshe miSinai. We have an oral tradition, Daminon Lovud, that something is considered attached if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. Akati kula nichobushus harabim, when you have a height of 7 in a mashehu, and you apply Lovud, it will be completely in the Rishus HaRabim. The chimatia pochs mishosh yisomach lekarka v'yomar v'hen Lovud v'avihanocha akati kula ba'avir Rishus HaRabim hi v'chayov. With all of the dimensions we mentioned in mind, this kaveris is completely in the Rishus HaRabim. 7 in a mashehu plus 2-3 minus a mashehu gives you 10 tefachim, at which point the kaveris is attached and the Rishus HaRabim extends till 10 tefachim of airspace. Avol, Rashi continues, Gavoa Zayin Umechza, Fuadin. And it also applies to 7, not specifically 7.5, but even 7.2 mashehus, potter. When the kaveris is coming to its landing position and it comes within three tfachim of the ground, Amrinu lovud b'mechitzase, we say the walls are attached. V'harehi kemunachas, and it's considered as if it's at its resting point, even though physically it's still falling. Nimsu shulel lemalo me'asora. If the kaveres measures, let's say, 7.5, when it reaches the height of 3 tfachim above the ground, and at that point it's considered attached to the ground, even though it hasn't landed, still a tefach remains above the 10 tefach mark. Ve'enu nochi kula b'rishus harabim. And it's not landed completely in the rishus harabim. Now, this concept applies only when you flip the kaveres over with its mechitzas facing downwards. And that's what Rashi goes on to point out, because the concept of lovud is said only with regard to walls, and we're trying to attach walls to the ground as opposed to attaching the bottom of the vessel. Regarding the bottom of the vessel, we don't say the term, we don't use or employ this concept of lovud. Lovud is a mechitza related term. So only when the mechitzas are facing downwards can we make these suggestions. Rav Ashi, as we saw in the Gemara, said that even if it measures 7.5 tefachim, he still will be guilty. And the reason for that is the mechitzas do not descend, or are not considered attached to the ground, because the mechitzas are made to contain the contents of the kaveres. And as a result of that, the end of the mechitzah is where the vessel ends, and there is no extension to the ground. And therefore, if it measures 7.5 tefachim, so when it lands on the ground, literally, it's completely within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the Nosei we've written. Point one, Omud Tisha Rishus HaRabim, V'Rabim Mekasvin Olav, a pole that measures 9 tefachim in height, 9 hand breadths, that's posted in the middle of a public thoroughfare, and people will rest on this pole. That's one topic. Another topic, Gumo Amuka Tisha, a pit that has a depth of 9 tefachim, Tashmish Al Yedei Hadchak. Its usefulness to the public may be, however, it's not something that one uses easily. He has to bend down and reach down into the pit in order to benefit from whatever it's there for, whether it's it's a storage area or you want to place something in there. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a double underline marking. And we've explained this under our Mivneh heading. Shi'urim shonim shel omud b'emtzei rishus harabim. We'll see different dimensions that are featured with this marking regarding the pole in the rishus harabim. Let us now continue in the Gemara text. Omra ula, omud tisha b'rishus harabim. A pole that measures 9 tefachim. And this 9 is something that is specifically 9 tefachim. And it's in a public thoroughfare. V'rabe mekasvin olav, and the public leans on it, or they use it for adjusting packages, but it's used by the public. V'zorak v'noch al gabov. Someone threw something, let's say 4 amas away from this pole in the Rishus HaRabim, and it landed on the pole. Chayav. He is considered chayav for the malacha of mavir dalet amas Rishus HaRabim, whereby there's an akira and a hanocha in the Rishus HaRabim. My taima. Well, why is that? After all, it landed on a pole, and we've learned before that protrusions in the Rishus HaRabim are not necessarily considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. So let's continue in the Gemara seeing the different dimensions that are associated with things protruding forth from a Rishus HaRabim and what halachic status they have. So you can see the double underline and the lettering scheme above it, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. The first level is Pochos Mishlosha, some type of protrusion that is less than 3 tvachim from the ground. In other words, it's protruding upwards, 2.9 tvachim from the ground. Midras Darsi Le Rabim. People walk right over it, and therefore, it's considered the public thoroughfare, the public domain, a Rishus HaRabim. Another dimension, Mishloisha Ve'atisha, items that protrude forth from the ground that are from 3 tvachim till 9 tvachim, Lo Medras Darsi Lay, people don't walk over it, they're too high. Velo Kisufi Mikasvi, and they don't lean on it either, it's too low for that. Tisha Vadai Mikasvin Iluya. But 9 tvachim is a very useful height for the general public. People will rest on it or adjust their packages on that. Amar Le Abaye Rav Yosef. Gumo Mai. As opposed to a protrusion, here we're talking about a depression, a hole in the Rishus HaRabim that is 9 tfachim deep. There's a Rashi in the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Dibur Masel Mai, Gabi Rishus HaYochid, the Asora, Tanya Liel, regarding a private domain that measures 10 tvachim, we have learned earlier, Oimko Kigoiva, the depth is the same measure as the height, Dekotani, Charitz Omoik Tish Asora, Verochov Dalid, Rishus HaYochid. A depression that measures 10 tvachim of depth and a width of 4 tvachim is considered a private domain. So that's as far as heights and depressions with regard to Rishus HaYochid. We see they have the same dimensions. There's an upward measure of 10 tvachim and a downward measure of 10 tvachim, provided there's a width of 4 tvachim. Both of them are on the same legal footing. They're both Rishus HaYochid. Hacha Mai. Here, with regard to the 9 tefach item, what is the halacha? I amrinon man chibei b'nei Rishus HaRabim chafotzim shebiyodam ad ahadri v'asu derech sham. If you say that the pole that measures 9 tfachim of height, people will use it for their benefit. They'll hang items that are on that they're carrying until they go somewhere and come back and take it from there. V'nimso shetzrichim lo rabim hilkuch Rishus HaRabim hu. And as a result of the public finding it beneficial, it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. That's as far as a pole is concerned. What about a ditch 9 tvachim deep? So the Gemara continues, Omar Lei, this is Rav Yosef responding to Abaye, V'chein Beguma, a depth of 9 tvachim, a ditch measuring 9 tefachim deep, is also considered Rishus HaRabim. Rava disagrees, Omar, Beguma Loi, the pit or the hole measuring 9 tefachim in depth will not be like a pole 9 tefachim high. My Taima, why the distinction? Why the distinction between the hole and the pole that protrudes upwards from the Rishus HaRabim? Answer, Tashmish Ayudei Adchak, Lo Shmei Tashmish. The use of something that comes with a strain, with difficulty, is not considered use. And therefore, it's not considered as if it's serving the public. So at this point, we have Rava and a rule, namely, Tashmish Al Yedei Adchak, Lo Shmei Tashmish. The reason it's important to capsulize the rule is so that we'll appreciate the questions that follow what we are attacking. So you'll notice that we have triangles, and these are featured under our Mivneh heading. On the side of the Gemara, you see a triangle, and we've written Kushos al Hod Yama Rava Beinyan Guma, questions regarding that which Rava said in with regard to the whole, that Tashmish Haydei Chak Lo Shmei Tashmish. So the first of the questions, Eisvei Rav Ado Bar Matana L'Rava. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see it's in a frame, and it continues to the bottom line. Hoysa Kuposo Yiminachas B'Rishus Arabim. The person had a box lying in the public thoroughfare. Gavo Asor V'Chovo Dalet. If this box has sides measuring a height of 10 Tvachim, and its width is 4 Tvachim, Ein metatalin lo mitocha l'rishus arabim lo mishus arabim l'tocha. Then you will not transfer items from it to the street, nor from the street to it, to within this box. And the reason is that this box is a rishus hayochid, and you're not allowed to transfer from the public domain into a private domain. Pochos mikan metatalin. If the box is less than 10 tvachim in height, then you could metatel. That means that there would be no Torah level violation. Not only that, but Rashi goes a little further and he says, even if it's less than 10 tvachim, but still, is it not a carmelis? And if it's a carmelis, there's still a rabbinic prohibition of transferring items from a carmelis to a public domain, and vice versa. So why, if it's less than 10 tfachim, are you saying it would be mutter? It says in this source, pachim kam metaltin, you're allowed to. So Rashi answers that since we're dealing with a box, the box is basically a vessel, a utensil. It's not a domain. It's just that if it has large enough dimensions, then it does become a domain unto itself. But if it lacks those dimensions, it's a vessel, it's a kli, and not a domain. And therefore, there would be no problem of moving things from the street into a box whose height is less than 10 tfachim. And finally, in this source, it says, V'chein beguma. Similarly, with regard to a whole. My love, asefa. Is this V'chein beguma, is it not referring to the seifa, the end of this source that spoke about pachos mikain, if the box is less than 10 tfachim in height, so you can v'taltel from the box to the Rishus Rabim, and what we're assuming the Chein Begula means, that likewise if you have a hole that's less than 10 Tfachim deep, you could carry or transfer items from the hole to the street, showing us that it's considered the Rishus Rabim, showing us that it's considered the same domain as the street itself. The Gemara rejects this. We should point out that would have been a challenge to Rava, because Rava says that Tashm Shayadev Chakban, something that you use only by bending over and straining yourself, is not considered normal use. So it wouldn't be considered the, according to Rava, something like this would not be considered part of the use of the public. And yet the source would indicate that it is. So that's the kasha on Rava. The Gemara, Rava will answer loy areisha. When the source says v'chein beguma, it's referring specifically to the first part of the source that spoke about a box measuring 10 tfachim in height. Likewise, a pit 10 tfachim deep. Just like we said by the box, you're not allowed to transfer from it to the street. A pit measuring 10 tfachim of depth, one would not be allowed to transfer items from the street into such a pit, nor vice versa. Because that is a rishus, that pit would be a rishus hayochid. However, 9 tfachim, that's not considered the topic of the source. Me'esve. We raise another objection to Rava. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. This source deals with what's called an Eruv Tchumin. An Eruv Tchumin is a food stuff. For simplicity, we'll talk about a loaf of bread that's placed at a distance outside of a city, and it's a person's demonstration that he wants his Mokum Shvisa, his Shabbos location, to be measured from that particular point outside the city. And the halacha says that he then is able to measure 2,000 amos in all directions around that new point, the place that he placed the food that we call Eruv Tchumin. What's important for us in this particular discussion is the rule that the place that a person puts the food, Erev Shabbos, which will determine his Shabbos location, the person's location is determined where the food is placed, it has to be placed in such a location that the person will be able to have access to it. So that if the location outside of town where the person wants to be Koinesh Shvisa is a Rishus Harabim, so the Eruv that he places has to be placed also in, let us say, in a Rishus Harabim. It has to be placed where he won't be prohibited from taking it. But if he intends to declare his Shabbos location in a public thoroughfare, 1,000 amos outside of town, he can't place the Eruv in a Rishus Hayochid near that location, because if he's planning to be in the Rishus Harabim, he won't be able to take the Eruv from the Rishus Hayochid to where he is planning to be Shoyves. That is by way of introduction. So now that we know the rule that a person and his Eruv have to be in the same location, the same halachic location, the Gemara asks its question. We're asking a question on Rava. Now, we have a long question mark. You can see the kuf that's encircled from the first line of the Gemara with a descending vertical dashed line showing us how this long question takes up all these lines. Niskaven lishbois b'shus harabim. A person intends that his Shabbos location is a point outside of his town that is a public thoroughfare. V'niach eruvo b'bor. And he stores the eruv, which is the food that represents his location. He places the food in a pit. Now, the source is a bit obscure, and that's why we have a long question marking here, because we have to figure out what are the circumstances. But for the time being, we realize we have to learn a number of lines of Gemara before we can start appreciating the question. So the source says, Lamalo me'asor tfochem eruv eruv, lamato me'asor tfochem ein eruvo eruv. At this point, it's almost pointless to translate the source. Let us go on in the Gemara. We have a double underline highlighting the words Ilemo and then later Elolav. These are featured under our Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara where a double underline is featured. These are Shlavim, stages. Lahazbir Hamboker Beniach Eruva Babor. In trying to explain this source that deals with someone placing his Eruv in a pit. So, Hechidomi, what are the circumstances? Ilemo Babor Diis Be Asora. If you are to think that we're dealing with a pit that has a depth of 10 tvachim. Ulamala, and the term lamala in the source means the daloi the oisvei, that he placed it on an upper point, a high point in this pit. Ulamata. And the word lamata equals the tatoi the oisvei, that he placed it low toward the bottom of the pit. That's where he placed his bread. if that's what you are assuming that this source is talking about, it wouldn't make any sense. Mali lamala umali lamata. What difference does it make where he places the pit inside the food inside the pit, whether it's higher up in the pit or down at the bottom of the pit? This pit, if it's like we said at the beginning of this e-lema, where the double underline appears, that it's a bore that has a depth of 10 tfachim, well, that pit is a reshus hayochid. It's a private domain. We're assuming that it has a width of 4 tfachim as well. So if you're dealing with a pit that is 10 tfachim in depth, it wouldn't matter where in the pit you're placing the bread. The entire pit, from edge down to bottom, is a private domain. And he, in this source, wants to be shoyves. He wants to welcome in the Shabbos at a point that he is at in a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, the Eruv placed in such a bor that has a depth of 10 tfachim creates the situation of hu b'mokum echo ve'ruva b'mokum achir hu. He is in one place. He wants to be shoyves in the Rishus HaRabim, and his eruv is placed in this pit, which is a Rishus HaYochid, and he therefore has no access to the bread relative to where he wants to be shoyves. And therefore, this source could not be talking about a bor that's 10 tfachim deep. Because we see that in the Reisha, Eruv o Eruv. El Olav, rather, you must say, Bebor Deles Be Asora. It's got to be talking about a bor that does not have a depth of 10 tfachim. Vikotoni, Eruv o Eruv. And it says in this source that his Eruv is considered an Eruv. Now, where does he want to be shoveis? He wants to be shoveis at the Rishus HaRabim, which is running alongside the pit. The bread inside the pit is considered an effective Eruv, because we're saying then that hu ve'eruv b'mokam echad, he and his Eruv in one place. And if he is in Rishus HaRabim, therefore this pit that measures less than 10 tfachim of depth is also considered Rishus HaRabim. Now, how can you say it's considered Rishus HaRabim? Isn't it hard to use it? You have to bend over and stretch out in order to get things from there. Almo tashmish ayidei adchak, shmei tashmish. So we see from here, contrary to Rava, that the use of something, though it's with difficulty, is still considered useful. And in our case, it would therefore be that the pit is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim if it has a measure of less than 10 tfachim, and that's a kasha on Rava, who said, Tashmish ayidei adchak, loy shmei tashmish. The Gemara now answers. You see, we have a very long answer marking. So this is Rava defending himself. Zimnin mishani lei. Sometimes Rava answers hu ve'eruvo b'karmelis. The pit is not Rishus HaRabim, and the reason that the eruv is considered good is because he and the eruv are in a karmelis. In other words, he wants to be shoyves not in a Rishus HaRabim. I know it says Rishus HaRabim, but his kavanah was to be shoyves to accept the Shabbos while in a karmelis. And the pit that measures the pit that's featured over here would be a pit that's also not Rishus HaRabim. If we look at the Rashi, hu ve'eruv b'karmelis kagon shoyabor ze b'bika v'niskavein lishbos al sfaso. We're talking about a case where the pit is in a in an area of fields, and he wants to be koine shvisa, he wants to welcome in the Shabbos while he is at the edge of the pit in the field. Ubor nami kivandalo omok yud karmelis hu, and the pit as well, since it's not 10 tvachim deep, so it's a karmelis. So in the resha of this source, which said niskavim lishbos b'shus harabim, we're explaining right now that means he had kavona to be shoyves in the karmelis. V'hiniach eruva b'bor, and he placed his eruv in a bor, l'malo me'asor tfochim, that means that the bottom of the pit is higher than 10 tfochim from the surface. In other words, in simpler terms, it's a shallow pit. It's a pit less than 10 tfochim in depth, and therefore the pit is also a karmelis. Therefore, eruva, eruv. That's the first answer that that Rava gives, that the source is not talking about someone being shoyves in the Rishos Harabim, and therefore a pit whose depth is less than 9 tfachim, so he and the Eruv that he placed in the pit are in the same location. The Gemara continues, V'amai kori lo rishus haravim, if you're telling me that he had kavona to be shoves in a karmelis, why does the source at the top use the term niskavim lishus rishus haravim? Answer, lefi she'eino rishus hayochid, simply a default expression, because it's not a private domain. So in order to describe something that's not a private domain, the source uses the word rishus harabim, when in fact it's not talking about a real public thoroughfare, but rather it's talking about a karmelis. And as such, describing the pit, when you say it's l'malam esor tfochim, meaning it's less than 10 tfochim of depth, as a karmelis, that does not present a problem for Rava. V'zimnin mishani lei hu b'shus harabim v'eruva b'karmelis. Sometimes we will explain this source as literally rishus harabim, that he wants to be shavis rishus harabim, and the eruv is placed in a pit, and the pit is a karmelis, as Rava would have you believe. But the question will arise then, why, if the pit, when you say it's when you say in the source that it's lamata me'asor tfochim, meaning the bottom of the pit is higher than a depth of 10 tfochim, that the eruv is good when in fact the pit is a karmelis, isn't there a problem of hu b'mokam echad ve'eruva b'mokam achir? That's not a problem. The Rebbe, this is in conformity, the source in the top is in conformity to Rebbe, the Omar, who says the following rule. Before we read his rule, let us emphasize that the Shvisa of a person is established the moment, or the fraction of a moment before Shabbos sets in. We can call that Bein Hashmoshes. So that where a person is at Bein Hashmoshes, whether if he's physically there or he is using a portion of food to determine that location, we're interested in knowing where things stand at Bein Hashmoshes. And Rebbe holds that it is true that you're not allowed to take something from a karmelis to a rishus harabim on Shabbos, but that's on Shabbos proper. But at the period of time known as Bein Hashmoshes, which is a moment before Shabbos sets in, that rabbinic prohibition of taking from a karmelis to the Rishus HaRabim is not prohibited. It doesn't. The rabbis did not impose their laws of karmelis transfer restriction during Bein Hashmoshes. Therefore, and now establishing that the source on the top is like Rebbe, and he wants to be shoves in the Rishus HaRabim, and the Eruv is in a pit that is classified as a karmelis, which is exactly what Rava wanted to say originally, and we're learning in conformity to Rebbe, the Omar, called Dover Shumishum Shvus. Any action that's restricted because of a rabbinic ruling, lo gozru alav bein hashmoshes. The rabbis did not impose their rabbinic restrictions during the bein hashmoshes time period, which is the time period that a person's location is established. Velo teima dechuyah ka madchinot loch, and don't think for a second that I'm giving this as a push-off type response. Elodafko koaminoloch. This is a formal response, namely that tashmish ayadeyed chak is not considered tashmish. The Sanya. We have a Tanaic source in which Rava will show through an inference that tashmish ayadeyed chak is lo shmei tashmish. Disnan, imhoya rekak mayim rishusa rabbi malechas bo. If there was a rekak mayim, we'll translate that as a large puddle. It's a depression in a public thoroughfare in which water has accumulated. We'll call it a large puddle. So if there is a rekak mayim in the rishusa rabbi malechas bo, and the public thoroughfare cuts through this puddle, hazorek l'secha dal adamas chayav. If a person stands in the public thoroughfare and throws into this puddle, and the item travels 4 amos, he is chayav. It would clearly demonstrate to us that the puddle is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. The Kamahu Rakak Mayim, what are the dimensions of the Rakak Mayim under discussion? Pochos Me'asorot Tfochim. If it's less than 10 Tfochim in depth. So a puddle that measures less than 10 tefachim in depth would be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Urekak mayim shirshus HaRabim maleches bo hazorek l'sochoy dalet amos chayav. The end of this source seems to be redundant. So you can notice, you can see with our markings, we've underlined very carefully the words rakak, and we've underlined them twice, and we've also underlined the expressions mahaleches boi. That's underlined twice. The Gemara points out, bishalom rakak rakak trei zimni. I understand why the source features the rakak twice. Chavi moisach chamo v'chavi moisach shomim. This halach is being featured during both halves of the year. The same rule will apply during the summer months as well as during the winter months. Utsricha. And I have to tell you about both seasons. The Ashmina b'maisachamo. If we would teach you that the rakak mayim with a depth of less than 10 tefachim is considered rishus harabim, and I taught you that regarding the summer season, I will tell you, I would have thought maybe that's only during the summer season. The Avidi Inshi Bikurin of Shayu. People will walk into the water, into the puddles, in order to cool off. It's after all Yemoi Sachamo. It's the summertime and it's hot. So for their relief, the public will walk into this type of pool or water accumulation in a public thoroughfare. Avol b'moy tzachacham hagshomim, but during the rainy season, the cold season, emolo, I would have thought, if you didn't tell me about the rakak mayim during, you hadn't told it to me twice, I would have thought that during the winter time, it's not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Because people are already cold. They're not going to want to walk into the water, which will just make them even colder. The E Ashmina b'moys hakshamim, had the source taught rakak mayim once, and we would say that's talking about the winter time. So people might think that agav de mitanif mikri v'nochis, since it's mitanif means dirty, more specifically in this case, since things are muddy anyway, so people will walk into puddles during the winter time. Avol b'moy sachamo lo, but that Svora doesn't apply to the summertime when things are not muddy. So maybe during the summertime, it would not be considered part of the public thoroughfare. People don't walk into the water then. Tzricha, therefore I have to tell you both. I have to tell you twice. Rakak Mayim, both in the wintertime and in the summertime, are viewed as part of the Rishus Harabim. Eloch, iloch, iloch, trezin the lomali. Why does the source say Mehaleches bo twice? And Rashi gives you how an alternative way for this source to have been read without repeating Mehaleches bo twice. So why does it appear twice? Elolav, Shma Mino. What we can conclude from here, and this is where Rava makes his main point, Shma Mino, Hiluch Hayadeyat Chak Shmei Hiluch, that walking that encounters some difficulty, as is the case when you're walking through water, that nevertheless is considered walking. It's considered part of the public thoroughfare as far as that is concerned. Tashmish ayidei adchak, however, loy shmei tashmish. But the use of things, like is the case of the pit, when it's useful only through straining and difficulty, that's not considered useful. It's not considered, therefore, part of the Rishus Harabim. And this has to all be tied back to the Gemara at the bottom of Amud Aleph, where we saw the Machlokes, Abaye and Rava, regarding a pit whose depth was 9 Tvachim, where Abaye was considering it part of the Rishus Harabim, and Rava was saying, no, it's not part of the Rishus Harabim, it's not like the pole which serves the public is in a functional, easy, useful sense. A pit of with the depth of 9 Tvachim is useful only al-yidei adchak, through straining, and that is not considered useful, and hence it's not considered part of the Rishus Harabim. That is Rava's opinion. We continue in our Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, Hai Zirza Dekoni. This is a bundle of reeds. Reeds are tall, and here they've been tied together in a bundle fashion. Roma Vizakfe Lo Mechayev Adokar Le. Imagine a person has this tall bundle of reeds, and he's in a public thoroughfare. What Rav Yehuda just described is he can throw it onto the ground and pick up the other end and then tumble it over again, keeping on repeating this process of tumbling the bundle of reeds from end to end, continuing on in the Rishus Harabim until you get to your destination. And you are not in Shabbos, not in a Shabbos violation. The reason for that is it was never removed from the ground completely. That is, it was never removed completely from the ground. You were always tumbling it over, and therefore he won't be chayev for hoitzah b'rishus harabim on Shabbos. And the Gemara said he's not mechayev ad okar le, until he picks it off completely from the ground and then places it back on the ground 4 amos later. Omar Mar. Now a familiar marking. You can see the house form, and we explained that this house form was a quote from the long source of the Arba Rishis back on Vav Amud Aleph. So here we're on Ches Amud Beis, referring back to the Brisa that we saw on the Vav Amud Aleph. It said there, here's a quote, Adam oimed alo eskupa, a person could stand on a stoop, noitel mi balabayas venosin lo, he could receive something from the balabayas who is in the Rishus Harabim, and he can give, the guy, fellow on the stoop can offer something to the balabayas, noitel me oni venosin lo, he could also receive something from a poor man We might have to just read this again for greater accuracy. The fellow on the stoop can notably balabais. Balabais is someone standing in a private domain. And the second part, the notel me'oni, he can receive, person on the stoop, on the askupa, can receive something from the oni who's in a public domain, and likewise give something to the oni. Hi askupa mai. Here we've got to define the askupa in order to appreciate what this source is talking about. You'll notice that we have a series marking, the use of double underlines, in this case with dots between the two. And on the side, we've indicated, under the nosei topping, askupa mokom p'tur. The askupa is viewed as a mokom p'tur, and we, under the mivneh heading, the double underline is featured as shlavim, behesper, ha, dekotoni, odom, omeid, v'chulei, stages in explaining this source of Adam Omeid Ala Skupa. So what is the nature, what's the halachic nature of this stoop? If you were to think that this askupa is part of the public thoroughfare, Rashi explains in greater detail what kind of a threshold this would be. It would be an entrance to a movui, entrance to an alleyway that faces, that opens to a public thoroughfare, and this entrance is you would be taking a step up, but it's less than 3 tfachim in height, and the lechi pole, which creates a sense of private domain, is positioned on the inner edge of this particular askupa. So the askupa itself is not covered by the lechi. If that were the case, that we're talking about that kind of askupa, this type of threshold, then it doesn't make sense in the source. Notel mibalabayis. The balabayis is in a reshus hayochid. Homapik mirshus hayochid reshus harabim. If the askupa is defined as an askupa reshus harabim, then this source wouldn't make sense, because it says in the source that the fellow on the askupa can take from the balabayis, and if the askupa is defined as reshus harabim, and you would then be taking from the reshus hayochid to where you are in the reshus harabim, and that's forbidden. The Ela? No, askupa is reshus hayochid. Maybe the askupa is the askupa that is a reshus hayochid. And the Rashi elaborates on how that would be constructed. Nevertheless, this is rejected, because it says in the source, noitel min ha'oni. If the askupa is reshus hayochid, how can the source say you can take from the oni? The oni represents someone saying reshus harabim. Hokum ayel reshus harabim reshus hayochid. He would be taking a product, an item, in from the oni, who is in reshus harabim, to the askupa. If you're saying it's a reshus hayochid, then he'd be doing an iser hachnosa. Ela askupas karmelis. Maybe the askupa is defined as a karmelis, and that could easily be designed where the height is more than 3 tvachim, and its width is 4 tvachim. So something that has a height of more than 3 tvachim and a width of 4 tvachim, that is a karmelis. So maybe that's the askupa. No, it can't be that either, because it says in the source, no tail, the no sein, which means lichatchila. In the source, we describe the person on the skupa as taking from the private domain and taking from the public domain, and he's allowed to do that lichatchila without any reservation. But if the askupa is a karmelis, there's a rabbinic prohibition of transferring items from public or private domain to a karmelis. Soif soif, isura miha isa. There would be an iser, so the lotion of noitel v'nosen lechatchila would be very inappropriate. Elo askupa mokum p'tur be'almahu kigon deles be'arbo al arbo. The askupa spoken about here is classified as the mokum p'tur, and that is an area that does not have a surface measure of 4x4 tvachim. V'chi ha d'chi osa ravdimi omer Rabbi Yochanan. And in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, Mokom Shein Bo Arbo Al Arbo Tvachim, something that does not have a surface area 4x4 Tvachim, mutar livnei rishus ha-yachid, livnei rishus ha-rabim, l'kasef alav, private people, someone coming from rishus ha-yachid, someone coming from rishus ha-rabim can lean on this and adjust their packages on it. Levad shelo yachlifu. We would not want a transfer of items between someone in a rishus ha-yachid handing or placing something onto the askupa, which measures, which has the definition of a mokum tur, in order for someone from the rishus ha-rabim to go and take it. So we don't want it to be used as a transfer point, even though midoraisa it probably could be, but we don't want that to take to happen. Omar Mar, once again we have a house form, a quote from the Braisa back on Vavam and Aleph of the Arba Rishios. It said in that source, "Uvach shelo yitol mi bala bayis v'noisein loni." Me'oni v'nosein l'bala bayis v'im notal v'nosan shloshton turin. We don't want someone standing on a mokum tur taking from the bala bayis and then handing it to the oni, or vice versa. But if that did happen, the three would be exempt. Lema, and here's a question, we have this listed as a long question. It continues to the top of Tesomet Aleph. Lema teve tufta de Rava. Should we suggest that this source repudiates Rava? Yama Rava, Hamavir Chefetz mitchilas dalid lesof dalid. Rishus Rava. A person picked up an item at a point in the Rishus Rabim and moved it four amas further in the Rishus Rabim. Afalpi sheheviroi Derech Olav. Even though in moving the item from one point of Shusarabim till four amas later, he lifted it over his head. That's the Loshen Afalpiu Sheviru at the top of Tes Amid Aleph, Derech Olav. Rashi at the top says of Tes Amid Aleph, he says Shigbiu Lemalo Me'asora. When he picked it, after he picked it up from the Rosh Hashanah, he picked it up to a height of more than 10 fochim from the ground. The Lo Sholid Be'avi Rosh Hashanah, that area, or that airspace, above 10 fochim, is not Rosh Hashanah airspace. Vavei Mokum Tur, that height of more than 10 fochim over Rosh Hashanah is called Mokum Tur. So, Rava says that a person who is Mavir Chefetz from the beginning of four Amos until four Amos later in Rishus Rabim, and even though in picking it up from Rishus Rabim, he picked it up to a height of more than 10 Tfachim from the ground. So, Afal Pishavir Derechalov, Chayav, he nevertheless is in violation of the Isser being Mavir Dal Amos Rishus Rabim. So, even though it went through the airspace of more than 10 Tfachim, which it went through a non Rishus Rabim area, went through what we would call a mokum ptur. Nevertheless, this person is chayev. So if he's chayev, why then, that this source would then seem to repudiate this? What we just said was Rava's din of picking something up to a height of more than 10 tfachim when you're moving it 4 amas rishus rabim. The source would seem to repudiate him because the source says that if an item was going from one domain to another and it goes through a mokum tur, you put the person in the house handed it to person standing on the askupa, which is a mokum tur, and that person on the askupa then gives it to someone in Rishus Rabim, that shloshtem pturin, from the source it would seem that if between the akira and the anocha it goes through a place of exemption, that creates exemption. Rava on the other hand says that between the Akira and the Hanocha, it went over 10 Tfachim of height. That means it went through an area of exemption. Nevertheless, he is Chayev. The Gemara answers no. The source is not a repudiation of Rava. Hosam lo noch, hocha noch. In the Rava case, the item didn't come to a stop. It wasn't noch. What happened is a person picked it up from the ground, and as he's walking, he carries the item more than 10 tefachim off the ground, and then places it back on the ground 4 amos later in the Rishus HaRabim. But the item didn't stop in the airspace of more than 10 tefachim. In the case of a person staying on a skupa, which is a mokum ptur, when it was handed from the balabayas to that person, it came to a halt over there, and it came to a halt on the askupa, and then the person on askupa went ahead and transferred it onwards to the oni in the Rishus HaRabim. But the main point is that in the askupa case, there's greater room for leniency because it wasn't a continuous motion from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, but rather it halted on the askupa. And that's different than the case that Rava featured of picking something up from the Rishus HaRabim and carrying it through the airspace of more than 10 tefachim and then placing it down 4 amas later. There was no stopping at any point in this action, and therefore that case is chayav, and the source is not a repudiation to Rava. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.